Would you turn with me to 1 John? 1 John chapter 2, we're going to continue in that second chapter today. In chapter 1, you may recall that we established that although Christians and although believers, we still struggle with sin. And I want to remind you that even though we have a confirmation in God's Word that as believers we continue to struggle with sin, we're absolutely not saying that sin is no big deal. Amen? Because before God, sin is a big deal. What he's saying is that we need to continue to remember that we are sinners and that we need to confess our sin and we need to repent of our sin. And John makes it very clear in chapter 2, verse 1, that our goal, even though we realize we're imperfect, our goal is to pursue godliness. Have you found 1 John chapter 2? If you would you stand together? John says that we are to pursue godliness, and that's only accomplished one way, remember? And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our advocate. He is our propitiation for our sins. We've covered that in verses 1 and 2. Why don't we recap that this morning? Verse 1 says, my little children. You remember what he said that we said that meant? He was saying, my little newborn, born again ones. Literally a term of endearment for those who have come to know Christ Jesus. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, let's stop for just a moment here, and I won't have you standing too long. But in verse 2, he explains that Jesus is not only the only way to forgiveness, but he is the world's only Savior. Amen? Not just our Savior, but the world's only chance to be saved. And that's what John means when he's saying he's not just our Savior, but the Savior of the world. Now, beginning in verse 3, John moves to his next subject here. Well, this is one that we as God's children need to keep close. And he's asking here, how can you be assured that you know God? How can you be assured that you are saved? And in this next section, he's going to lay out three tests. Three tests on how to know that you're a Christian. Three tests for how you know that you belong to God. One is a moral test, one is a relational test, and one is a doctrinal test. And today we're not going to look at all three. We're going to look at that first one. We're going to look at the moral test. So follow along with me as we read from verses 3 through 6. John says, now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walks. Would you pray with me? Father, the reading of your word, it impacts our hearts. And Lord, we pray that it would do more than just remind us. Lord, we pray that the heart of each, Lord, would be moved to an understanding here that we are being tested by your word for a relationship with the Lord our God. Help us today, Father, not just to be hearers, amen, but to be doers, obedient to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? So we move to that question that is imposed here, and that is, how do we know that we know God? How do you know that you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? And that's not just knowing about him, right? Are you with me? Not just knowing about him, but actually knowing him. That's the question that John is asking and answering here. And the three tests that he gives us are designed here to help you come to a firm and certain answer to see the absolute truth of our relationship with God, the absolute truth of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this first test is going to be verbalized in several different ways, but it's a singular question. He's going to ask it several ways. He's going to rephrase it several times, but it comes down to the one question. Do you know God the Father? Verse 3 that we read, it implies the question, do you keep God's command? He says, now by this we know that we know him, if we what? If we keep his commandments. So the first question is, do you keep God's command? Then in verse 4, he states it in a negative way, and he says, if you say you know him, but you don't keep his word, he's saying, that's how you know that you're not of God. And then in verse 5, he moves to the positive again. And he says that we know if we love the Lord God to the point that we actually follow him in obedience. And then in verse 6, he changes it back again and he says, you know God if you are living a godly life. So let's go to verse 3. Let's look at this and we're going to work through 3 through 6 today. So in verse 3, he says, how do we know that we know him? And he says, we know by this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. It seems a little redundant, but there is something in each one of them that kind of helps us understand where we're supposed to be. So a clarification here. John is not teaching about salvation by your obedience to the commands. When did he do this? He's already done this. He did this in the Gospel of John. He told us in the Gospel of John, he said, this is how you're going to know to be saved. This is how you come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not saying that we get saved because we are obedient to the commands of God. What he's saying here is, this is how you know that you are already saved. He says, you know who your relationship is with by these tests. And that salvation is evidenced by obedience, he's saying. And in turn, that obedience contributes to our assurance. Some people say, well, how can you know? Listen, if you know Jesus, you know. How do you know that you know that you know? He said, here are some ways. He said, are you obedient to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ? This test is a diagnostic tool, and so it helps us to know where we stand with the Lord our God. Do we simply claim to be Christians, or are our actions proving it? Now, the test number one, very simple. It's straightforward. Do you obey God's word? Is the Bible, God's word, your rule of faith? Is it your rule of practice? And this test reveals something else to us as well. He's not only saying, he said, is it your rule of your life? But he's saying here that when we claim to be Christians, but we're not obedient to the word, we're saying that is we don't adhere to his word. We're saying his word doesn't make a difference. We're saying to the world, beginning with our family and parents, beginning with our children, grandparents to our grandchildren, we're saying to the world, beginning with them, that we don't believe the Bible is true if we don't adhere to it, if we don't follow it. What we're saying to the world, he's saying, you're telling the world that you believe that the Bible is bunk. It's worthless, because if you don't follow it, what good is it? The truth is that when we say that we're Christians, but we don't live in the Word of God, it's not the Bible that's bunk, it's our profession that's bunk. So the Scripture is telling us right here, John says, look, if you are of God and you know Him, you're not just going to say that you believe the Word of God, you are actually going to be obedient to the Word of God. You know, the problem is that our children don't understand when we don't follow the Word of God. As they're learning and as they're growing, they come to build their belief system on what we say and what we do. It starts with the parents. It starts with grandparents. It starts with the family. And our children don't understand that when we don't follow the Word of God, that it's not the Bible that's wrong. It's us. And they are the ones who suffer for it. If you believe in the living God, this scripture is saying, you will believe His Word. And you'll be obedient to His Word. You're going to acknowledge it as the rule and as the faith and practice of your life. And it's not just going to be in the abstract. Amen? Not just in those things that you go, oh, well, I love God. And, oh, well, I'm going to sing to the Lord. And, oh, well, I'm going to show up at church. But it's going to be in the places where it actually hurts sometimes. You remember when Jesus said you know, don't just love your friends. He said that you're going to need to love your enemies. Do you love people when they're ugly to you? Do you love people when they're mean to you? Folks, that's living the Word in truth and not just in the abstract. Do you give to the Lord even when things are tough? Do you give to God and return to Him of your time and of your talents, of your money, of everything that God has given you, even when things are difficult? Or do you withhold? You're teaching your family what you really believe. John's not saying that we're able to keep the law perfectly here. Nowhere in here does John ever say, oh, we're all able to do this without fault. We're all able to do this without flaw. What he is saying that if you love God, are you with me? He's saying if you love God, you will love doing what God calls you to do. He didn't say he's perfect at it. And by grace, we're able to be even more obedient as we grow in the Word, as we live in the Word, as the Scripture says, as we abide in the Word. And he says that that in itself is evidence of knowing God. As we grow to be more and more obedient. There's a word for that. It's a big word. It's called sanctification. It means that we are growing closer to the Lord and becoming more and more like Him as we grow. So let's move to that next step. We don't know God if we don't desire to keep His commands. Look at verse 4. That's the next step. He moves to the negative. He says, if we don't keep His commands, we don't know God. He said, he who says, I know Him and does not keep His commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. You see, a relationship with God always expresses itself in a transformed life. You want to go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And don't be conformed to this world, amen, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the Scripture tells us that a relationship and fellowship with God never leaves us the same. He says something's going to change. He said to know Him changes everything. And it starts from the inside, but it can't stay there. Amen? It can't stay there. It comes out. It starts on the inside and then comes out. A relationship with God, a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, leads us to love Him and leads us to obey Him and leads us to believe His Word and to have faith in it and then to follow it. So his point is this. If you claim to know God and your life is not changed by knowing Him, then that is a certain sign in itself. It means you don't know God. It means that something's wrong in your life when you say you know Him because you don't. The truth of God turns our world upside down. When we live it, it turns the world around us upside down, the Scripture says. But it also turns us upside down. It changes us. When a transformed life is not there, then you can be sure and certain that the person whose life has not changed in Christ does not truly know God. It's a mouth profession, but not a heart change. Now, there are other scriptures who say the same thing, but they say it a little differently. Romans chapter 5 says it this way: true grace always reigns in righteousness. God's grace will bring about a rightness in our life. Ephesians chapter 2 says, true salvation always leads to obedience. Romans chapter 8 says, justification always is accompanied by sanctification, growing closer and closer and more like Christ. James chapter 2 says, faith always shows itself in what? Do you remember? Works. So faith in God always expresses itself in actions. Actions for Christ. Actions in obedience. And we know that if we don't keep His commands, then we really don't know God. That's a pretty tough test, isn't it? It's pretty straightforward. Are we obedient to God's word? Now He expresses this test in the next verse in a little different way. So we move to verse 5. He says that we know we love God when we keep His word. Look at verse 5. We'll read it together. He says, but whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. So the question is this. He says, do you manifest your love for God by keeping His word? You know, well, Pastor, isn't that repetitive? No, he's just taking it a little deeper. He's really stepping things up a bit here. You see, heretofore, John has been talking about walking in the light. You remember chapter 1? Even chapter 1 up through the second verse of chapter 2. He's been talking about walking in the light. And now he's not just talking about walking in the light. In other words, walking in God's word, listening to God, listening to the Holy Spirit speak to us. But now he's talking about walking not just in the light, but in love, and in love for God. Love is the theme of this epistle. Now, if you're going to go back, you may remember when we get to chapter 4, you know what that says about God is love, and love is of God, and really just establishes that theme. But even now he's saying that love is the theme. And he's saying in this family letter, this letter to you as my family, he said the theme is love. And if you don't have love, there's a problem. He says if you truly love God, if you truly love His word, then you're going to long to do His commandments. True love for God, he says, is expressed not just in sentimental language, not in a mystical experience with God where you get together and you go, oh, wow, I just had this closeness in an ethereal plane. That's not what he's talking about. He said, if you really love God, it's going to be shown more in just the way that you sing. It's going to actually be shown in the way that you live. The proof, he's saying, is in your loyalty to Christ. Now, I don't know that there is a wife in the building or even a wife in the world that does not like it when her husband tells her he loves her. Can I get a testimony? Ladies, do you like it when your husband expresses his love and an affection for you? Just give me an amen or an oh me. Amen. Here's the next thing. What wife does not like for her husband to say, I love you? But let me tell you this. If his words and his actions don't match up with the words when he says, I love you, it's not going to mean much. In other words, his words are actually offensive if he is not faithful to her. When his life doesn't back up his words, does it mean anything when he says, I love you? And does it not even get to the point where saying the words, I love you, can be an offense if he is actually unfaithful to her? Doesn't God's word relate the relationship of his church to the Lord Jesus Christ as that of the bride and the groom? So when the church is unfaithful to the Savior, do our words ring sour in his ears? True love is loyal. And therefore, God says, if you truly love me, if you love me, he says, then you're going to be loyal to my word. You'll be committed to my word. You'll be obedient to my word. Do you remember on the night that Jesus was betrayed? You go back and look in John chapter 14. He told the disciples as they were about to leave that place, and it's recorded in John 14, verse 15. He says, if you love me, you remember what he said you need to do? What did he tell his disciples? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And anyone who teaches you that you can love Jesus Christ, you can love the Lord Jesus Christ and not keep his commands, they are contradicting what the Master told us. And it goes even beyond that. I love this. Look back at verse 5 again. If you've got your Bible open, look at verse 5. But he says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So truly the love of God is perfected in him. So what he's saying here is that there is more than just following the rules. When you love God and the love of God is perfected in you, it means that you follow his commands, not just because you're a rule follower and saying, oh, well, I'm going to keep up with what I'm supposed to do. It goes beyond that. You follow God's word because you love him and you want to please God. Does that make sense? What's the distinction here? The distinction might be something like this. Let me just, if there was a farm and you had a farmer who had to keep up with all the things that need to be kept up on the farm, and he had a son, and he said, I'm going to share the duties with you, boy. He said, every morning it's your job to get up and go to the wood pile and take out some wood, chop it into pieces and bring it into the house so that your mom has something to cook with. The house can stay warm. He said, that's your job every morning. And then I'll give you an assignment beyond that. He said, my job in the morning, he said, I'm going to be very busy because he said, I always have to milk the cows. So the farmer milked the cows. Well, the next morning, they're at the breakfast table, and the father says, you know, I'm not feeling very well. I don't know if I can actually get the duties done this morning. So the son goes out to chop the wood, and he notices his father is lingering behind, and he finishes chopping the wood. And when he finishes chopping the wood, which is his duty, are you with me? Which is his duty. Instead of returning to the house, he sees that the father is holding back because he's not feeling well. So what does the son do? Does he go in and say, I'm done with my chores? Have I done what I've been asked? No, he goes and he milks the cows. And he asks, Father, is there anything else that I can do to help? Now, why does the son do that? Because he's a rule follower? No. He takes the next step because he loves his father. And he says, I want to help. He says, my heart is drawn to give you what you need and what you deserve. And I'm telling you, if we are not called beyond just the rule following, we haven't been brought into perfection with Christ, because he says that we are to love God and that our love is to be perfected. Not just our behavior, but our behavior follows along because we love. You know, when it's in the right order, it comes along so much better. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The question for verse 5 is not, are you committed to God? That's not the question. The question for verse 5 is, do you love God? Amen? Do you want to please Him? The Son wants to please the Father. We want to please the Father. Let's move to verse 6. We don't know God when we fail to emulate the life of Jesus Christ and His obedience. Verse 6 says, he who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. You know what He's saying here? He's saying that if you are abiding in Christ, and we talked about what abiding meant. It means to live there, to stay there, to constantly be there with Him. He's saying if you're abiding in Christ, you will be walking like Christ. You will be living like Christ. You will be in obedience to the Father like Christ. You know, again, that sounds repetitive. It's a further step. Like Christ. And he says, if you don't do that, you're not abiding in Him. If you don't do that, you're not walking with Him. You remember that old phrase? He said, if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, then it's... How come it's so easy for you to get the duck? If you walk like a Christian, if you act like a Christian, if you talk like a Christian, maybe we'll just call this the duck verse. If you're not obedient and you're not walking with Christ, that's a pretty straightforward test. If you're not looking to be like Christ, if you're not looking to act like Christ, if you're not looking to be obedient like Christ, you are not like Christ. You're not a Christian. If we're looking for perfect obedience, friends, listen, if you're looking for perfect obedience as the answer to this test, nobody's going to pass. Amen? Let me just say that again. I said, if you're looking for perfect obedience to this test, nobody's going to pass. No human being will pass. Nobody does this perfectly. And yet God's word calls for us to try. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. The truth is that if you are abiding in Jesus Christ, God's grace will always work obedience in you. If you are abiding with Jesus, if you're living with Him, if you're talking with Him, if you're serving Him, God will work out in you obedience to His word and the rest of the word that you're trying to follow. It follows because God's strength comes to you. Your whole life cannot help but be transformed by your abiding with Jesus. If you're resting in Christ, trusting in Christ, fellowshipping with Christ, then your whole life will be changed. Not just your church life, amen? Not just your Sunday morning life. Every part of your life will be changed. Every part of your life will be transformed. Now, this message is important for us today as a church body. This message is important today as a community because there are some folks who will profess to be a Christian, but they're not living according to God's word, and they really have no real desire to do so. It's an act. It's a show. And what John is saying to those people is this: you're not a Christian, friend. He's saying you don't belong to God. He's saying if you have no desire to be in the Word of God, you have no love for the Lord, you have no desire to please God, and when you sin, it really doesn't matter to you. He's saying, guess what? You don't know God. You know about him, but you don't know him. You don't need to be brushed up. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. What you need is to be saved. You need to surrender to Jesus Christ. There are some who are there. And then there are some Christians that are wrestling with a lack of assurance because of the imperfection in their lives. And John is saying, listen, look at your heart and answer these questions. And he lists them out, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. And he's saying, do you long to obey God's word? Do you try? Do you live there? And occasionally, do you fall? Of course we do. But he says, do you long to love God with all your heart? Do you long to be obedient? And he says, if your answer is yes, then you know God. You just need to be drawn closer to him. He's also saying, if your answer is yes, there is help in the rest of this book, and you need to get to know it too. And we're going there in 1 John together. Next week, we'll take those next steps. This morning, I want to ask you, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And would you allow me to spur this prayer? Would you ask yourself, do I love God? Do I long to be obedient to his commands? Do I desire to follow him in obedience? Is my heart broken when I fail my Lord in his word? Heavenly Father, if we've come today claiming to be Christians, and yet we live like the world rather than by your teaching, rather than by your word, God, I pray for your conviction in us. Would you agree with me in that prayer? God, we pray for your conviction in us. God, would you lead our hearts to repentance? God, would you help us to turn from the world and to turn to our Lord Jesus and Savior? God, if there is even one that has never had the desire to be your child, to be obedient, God, I pray that today that your Spirit would call them to you, and that they would desire to be a child of God. Heavenly Father, if there are any here today that have come conflicted, they desire to obey you, Lord, but they're struggling with their own will and following their own will. God, I pray that you would solidify our desire for you, Lord. A desire for your word, a desire to be obedient to your word. God, we see ourselves. We know that in ourselves, we can never be good enough. Help us, Lord, to seek your help so that we might be pleasing to you. As your children, Lord, would you help our heart's desire to move away from self-will and, Lord, to desire to be obedient to your call and to your word? Help us to run from our own wretchedness, Lord, into your righteousness. Help us to abide in you so much, Lord, that we'll be transformed, that every part of our life would be changed. God, we want to do that so that we might live gloriously and triumphantly in your Son and please you, our Father. Not just because we want to be a rule follower, but because we love you with all of our hearts. Lord, this we ask, all these things we ask, in your Son, Jesus' name.